I knew about wild plums twice before I tasted any. First time was when the Sunday school women were going plumbing. Father hunched his shoulders and laughed without making any sound. He said wild plums were small and inferior, and told us of fruits he had eaten in Italy. Mother and father were surprised that Mrs. Gouware and the school teacher would go with Mrs. Slump to gather plums. I knew it was not nice to go plumbing, but I didn't know why. I wanted to go once so that I would understand. The women stopped at the house to invite Mother. She explained that we did not care for wild plums, but Father said we feared to taste the sacred seed lest we be constrained to dwell forever in the nether regions. Mrs. Slump said, "Huh? You don't eat the pits? You spit them out?" Father hunched his shoulders and laughed the noiseless laugh that bothered Mother. When Father talked to people he didn't like, he sorted his words and used only the smooth, best ones. Mother explained to me it was because he had spoken only German when he was little. After the women had gone, Mother and Father quarreled. They spoke low so I would not hear them. Just before Mother sent me out to play, she said that even wild plums might give savor to the dry bread of monotony. The second time I knew about plums was at Mrs. Slump's house when she was making plum butter. She said she couldn't ask us in because the floor was dirty from stirring jam. The Slumps didn't use chairs. They had boxes to sit on, and the children sat on the floor with the dogs. They were the only people I knew who had hounds. I wanted to go in. We never had visited them. We were at their house now because Father needed to take home a plow that they had borrowed. Father didn't like to have his machinery stand outdoors. He had a shed where he kept his plows when he was not using them, but the Slumps left theirs where they unhitched. Mrs. Slump was standing in the door with her back towards us when we drove up. She was fat and wore wrappers. Her wrapper was torn down the back. Mr. Slump came out and Father talked to him. He was tall and lean. Mrs. Slump came and stood by the buggy too. Mother and Father sat on the front seat of the buggy and Teresa and I on the back seat. Teresa was older than I and had longer legs. When she stretched her feet straight out, she could touch the front seat with her toes, and I couldn't. She bumped a seat behind Mother and Mother turned around and told her to stop. My feet didn't touch Father's seat, so I wasn't doing anything and didn't have to stop it. Teresa pinched me. I climbed out of the buggy without asking if I might. Teresa started to tell Mother I was getting out, but waited to see what I intended to do. I was going to walk around behind Mrs. Slump. She had no stockings on, and the Sunday school women said she didn't wear underclothes. I wanted to see if this was so. Mother called me back. Sometimes Mother knew what I was thinking about without asking me. She took hold of my arm, hard, as I climbed onto the buggy step and said under her breath, "I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed." Her face was twisted because she tried not to stop smiling at Mrs. Slump while she shook my arm. I kept trying to explain, but she wouldn't let me. Her stopping me made me want to say the things she thought I was going to, but I didn't dare. Mr. Slump said he would bring the plow back in the morning. Father wanted to take it home himself then, but Mr. Slump said he wouldn't hear of it, being as how he had borrowed it and all. He would bring it behind the lumber wagon the next day and leave it in the road. They were going after more plums and would be passing the house anyway. The next morning after breakfast, Father, Mother, and I were in the kitchen. Teresa had scraped the plates and gone to feed the chickens. She did not like to sit still while people talked. She liked to do things that made her move around. Mother and Father were talking, and I was looking out of the window. If I looked at the sun and then away, it made enormous morning glories float over the yard. Father had told me they were in my eyes and not in the air, so I didn't call him to look at them. While I was watching them, Clubby Slump came up the lane in the middle of the lavender one. Clubby was bigger than I and stupider. When anyone spoke to him, he stood with his mouth open and didn't answer. His hair needed combing and he didn't use a handkerchief. Mother said good morning to him. He pointed to a wagon at the end of the lane. He said, "Plums," and ran back down to the path. Mother and Father started toward the road, and I went ahead of them. The wagon had stopped at the foot of the cottonwood lane. Mr. Slump sat on the high board seat holding the reins. Mrs. Slump was beside him with the baby on her lap. Lenny Slump was between them. On the seat behind were Mrs. Gouware and two women I didn't know. The rest of the wagon was full of children. Mr. Slump had forgotten the plow. "All you youngins pile in," Mrs. Slump called to us. "We're going plumbing on the Ninniskaw. Stay all night. The young'uns can go wading. There ain't no work driving you this time of year, so just pile in. We got bedding for everybody. Mr. Sump sat looking at the horse's ears. Whenever Mrs. Sump stopped talking, he would say, I told you they all wouldn't go, but you would stop. And Mrs. Sump would answer, There now, Pa, you hush. I had not known one could live so long without breathing as I had lived while Mrs. Sump was asking us to go. I could see my heartbeats shaking my collar, a lace collar that was hanging by one end down my chest. I'd forgotten to put it on right. I waited for Mother to lift her foot and plant it on the wagon hub, ready for piling in, for Father to take her elbow and lift. Everyone would laugh a little and talk loud. They always did when women got into wagons. I had never seen Mother climb into a wagon, but I knew how it would be. I wondered if Father would jump in without tossing me up first. Father got into wagons quick, without laughing or joking. I wondered if he would forget me. The children would see me and lean over the end board and dangle me up by one arm. I thought frantically of Teresa. Then Father was speaking and my breath came back. He was saying, If you happen upon a plum thicket, an outcome highly unlikely, you still face the uncertainty of finding plums. The season has been too dry, and should you find them, they will prove acrid and unfit for human consumption. My collar hung limp, motionless. My heart was dead. Father was spoiling things again. Mrs. Sump said, They make fine gel, and Mr. Sump repeated, I told you they wouldn't go, but you would stop. He was gathering up the lines. I hated to see Mother's face, feeling the stricken look it would have, but I knew I must smile at her not to care. Strangely enough, she had a polite look on her face. It was the look that made my fingers think of glass. My mind slipped off from it without knowing what it meant. She was smiling. Really, it is impossible for us to go with you today, she said. It was kind of you to ask us. I hope you will have a lovely outing and find lots of plums. As she spoke, she glanced at me. She moved closer and took my hand. Mrs. Slump looked down at me too and said, Can't the kid go? Kids like being out. Mother's hand closed firmly on mine. I'm afraid not without me. Besides, with a severe look at my collar, she isn't properly dressed. Oh, we can wait while she takes out that pretty dress, Mrs. Slump suggested comfortably. But Mother flushed and shook her head. Mr. Slump was twitching at the lines and clucking to the horses. His last I told you was drowned in shouted goodbyes, and the wagon clattered down the road. Mother walked back to the house, still holding my hand. Once inside, she turned to me. Would you really have gone with those? She hesitated and finished. With those persons? They were going to sleep outdoors all night, I said. Mother shuddered. Would you have gone with them? Mrs. Gouer was with them, I parried, knowing all she did not say. Would you have gone? Yes. She stood for a long time looking out of the window at the prairie horizon, then searched my face curiously. It might have been as well, she said. It might be as well. And turning, she began to clear the breakfast table. The next day I played in the road. Usually I spent the afternoons under the box elder trees or by the ditch behind the machine sheds where dragonflies and pale blue moths circled just out of reach. But this day I spent beside the road. Mother called me to the house to bring cobs, called me again to gather eggs in the middle of the afternoon. She called me a third time. Her face looked uncomfortable. She said, If the Slumps go by, do not ask them for any plums. Mother knew I would not ask. If they offer any, do not take them. What shall I say? Say we do not care for them. If they make me take them, refuse them. When the Slumps came in sight, the horses were walking. The Nenniscot was 15 miles away and the team was tired. I thought I could talk to the children as the wagon passed, but just before it reached me, Mr. Slump hit the horses twice with a willow branch. They trotted and the wagon rattled by. The children on the last seat were facing toward me. They laughed and waved their arms. Clubby leaned backward and caught up a handful of plums. The wagon bed must have been half filled. He flung them toward me and then another handful. They fell, scattering in the thick dust which curled around them in little eddies, almost hiding them before I could catch them up. The plums were small and red. They felt warm to my fingers. I wiped them on the front of my dress and dropped them in my apron. I waited only for one secret rat before I ran, heart pounding to tell my mother what I had discovered. She interrupted me. Did they see you picking them up? I thought of myself standing like Clubby Slump, mouth open, without moving. I laughed till two plums rolled out of my apron. Oh, yes, I had them picked up almost before the dust stopped wriggling. I called thank you. Still, Mother was not pleased. Throw them away, she said. Surely you would not care to eat something flung to you in the road. It was hard to speak. I moved close to her and whispered, can I keep them? Mother left the room. It seemed long before she came back. She put her arm around me and said, take them to the pump and wash them thoroughly. Eat them slowly and do not swallow the skins. You will not want many of them, for you will find them bitter and not fit to eat. I went out quietly, knowing I would never tell her that they were strange on my tongue as wild honey, holding the warmth of sand that sun had fingered and the mystery of water under leaning boughs, for I had eaten one at the road.